Well, I'm pleased to say Richard Spall from In Situ Theatre has made his way here. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Lee.
And Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you, and the same to you.
Nice to see you again. Now, you're here to talk about, you're here to talk about many things that In Situ are up to, and we'll touch on all of them, but particularly about this Measure for Measure project, which is a 10-week course for actors, looking particularly at that play.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And it's often described as a problem play.
Yes,
why is it? What does that mean? And why is it a problem play?
It's partly because it deals with rather sort of naughty and difficult and sort of slightly kind of dirty moral problems. And Measure for Measure, I mean, it's to do with power and sexuality and stuff like that, mostly. So it's dealing with issues that we would now say it's sort of difficult, I suppose. I think that's one reason. Another reason is that it's in a sort of uncomfortable place between comedy and tragedy. It's got a very, a sort of extremely tragic trajectory, same as Hamlet and Othello and stuff like that. But one thing is it in a rather improbable way, it resolves happily is one thing. And some of the other problem plays, like All's Well That Ends Well, do the same sort of thing. And it includes a lot of comic stuff as well. So it's a mixed... It doesn't fall clearly into one particular genre. So it's problematic in lots of different ways, actually.
It's great that this play, which is, 500 years old, is still challenging us after all this time.
Oh, definitely. Cracks it, yes, it is. It is to actors, directors, how to think about it, what to bring out of it.
No, it's always hard to summarise a Shakespeare play. but for those who haven't seen Measure for Measure, can you give a brief summary of what it's about?
Yes. Well, very much in the... with the new American president in mind, it hinges around the abuse of power for sexual gain. There's a chap called Claudio who's in prison under sentence of death, and it's a very repressive, morally repressive regime. And this chap whose name is Claudio, has got his girlfriend pregnant. He's intending to marry her, but has not yet done so. And he is facing the death penalty for that, which may seem strange to our ears, but that sort of stuff happens in loads of different countries at the present.
Where is it set?
It's set in Vienna. Okay. Yeah. I think of Vienna partly of Shakespeare's imagining, I've no doubt. This chap, Claudio, has a sister called Isabella, who goes to plead for his life with the... governor, recently appointed governor of Vienna, who's named Angelo, and he makes her a very dirty offer indeed, which is that in return for sex, he will allow, he'll pardon her brother. So you can imagine this produces quite a difficult scene between her and her brother when they talk about this. He very understandably doesn't want to get executed, and obviously Isabella views giving in to this demand as being sort of disgusting, and she would rather die, and she'd rather he died as well. So very uncompromising, sort of difficult, interesting, hard-hitting stuff.
Very uncomfortable,
yeah, but in a very good way, I think, because those things obviously were happening then, and we know full well that they're happening now.
Well, as you say, it is still relevant today, given all the stuff that came out in the election about the abuse the sexual power by men in positions of power and trust.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I think it... our group's done quite a lot of Shakespeare over the years, and we're not just looking to, see what's on the peg that we haven't done for a while. We're looking for something that seems to be calling out for some reason, seems more urgent in what it's, in what it's dealing with now. And that one, I mean, I've known it for ages. I've never produced it or been in it. And that one just seemed to be screaming out for it.
So it's a 10-week course. Sorry, Shredger. Yeah, it's a 10-week course, and it obviously there's enough there for 10 weeks to unpick it.
Easily. Yeah, there is. Yes, the 10-week course that we're inviting people to join up for now is... this in itself doesn't lead to a performance. This is we're exploring dialogue, language, staging, interpretation, all those different things. So it's a training ground, what people are being invited into, at whatever level of experience they might be, with whatever access or knowledge of Shakespeare they might or might not have. But after this term, I'm going to invite the participants on that course to take part in a production of it, which will happen in July of this year at the Cambridge Leper Chapel, and so it's an opportunity for people if people want to get involved in in-situ's performance work, they can go on to do that if they want to make a longer project of it for themselves. So that's what we've got in mind.
And as you say, it's a very uncomfortable play. Does that present particular challenges to the actors? I mean, doing Shakespeare is always challenging, isn't it? But is there something in particular about this play that makes it more challenging?
Well, yes. Well, but, you know, I think good actors would feel that they need to be to be able to address all sorts of different issues, but you know, some are a bit easier than others, there's no doubt. And yeah, as I was saying earlier, this place is to do with sexual abuse, really, and within a context of politics, abuse by powerful people. I find grappling with things that are out there in the real world that are reflected in some way in the world drama, you know, that seems to me to be exactly what theatre ought to be doing, and obviously many actors and practitioners would agree with that. But it's challenging for the actors. I mean, you know, that it's not Peter Rabbit.
It's not Peter Rabbit. Well, and actually, it's nice to have 10 weeks to really delve into a play, isn't it? And
yes,
look
yes,
at the
indeed,
text,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is presumably very rich, and there's lots of connotations and different interpretations.
Many, but yeah. How it's seen in terms of character, or in terms of where its kind of moral centre lies, which bits of it are the most interesting bits, is something we'll need to be deciding on. We're not just going to start at the beginning and learn all of it and do all of it. It'll be edited and cut and maybe, you know, perhaps rearranged. Perhaps it's possible that other material might be added to it. It depends what the process, how the process unfolds. And as you were saying earlier, I mean, all Shakespeare is interesting and challenging because the language is very complex and dense language. It contains more thought packed into the lines than you would usually see if you turn the television on, I would say. And it's at a slight distance, not a great distance, but a slight distance from ordinary modern speech. And so... yeah, things to explore and understand and train your ear to, and yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating place to go
for
people that have if you have a mind to do it. Yeah,
and you're very busy in January. Have you got Learn to Act? Is that starting in January as well?
Yes, yeah, I do that every term. That's the basic. That's the basic training, looking at improvising and work on text, and so. Most of my students, but no, I mean, not by any means all of them, but a great many of them start at that point. And it's, I suppose it's the most natural place if you're completely new to it.
If you're interested in stuff, yeah.
Yes, it's probably the best place to, it's the easiest place to start as far as our work goes.
And this, you've got another workshop as well. So as well as the Measure for Measure project and Learn to Act, the voice is the muscle of the soul. So this is obviously focusing particularly on voice technique,
on the voice, and exploring the voice in terms of its range and its ability to express character and its ability to express emotion and thought and so on. It's something that I did a lot of work for 10, 15 years ago, I suppose, with some European practitioners who had some very thought-provoking ideas on how the voice might be used, which went beyond the sort of ordinary ideas of elocution and stuff, way beyond that. I found them very, very interesting, and so I started incorporating that into my own practice. And in the last few years, I've been on sort of another tack a bit with emphasis on physical theatre and text work and stuff like that. So I wanted to go back to that area where there's a lot more to explore in it. So I mean that course should be good for that. Doesn't have a performance element in it. It's entirely exploratory. Hopefully good for any type of performer, whether they're a storyteller or a singer or an actor, teacher, anybody who wants to use their voice. But I hope also it will appeal to, for want of a much better word, ordinary people who obviously use their voice, use their voice in ordinary life, might feel that
they want to stretch.
So they want to stretch it in some way. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to offer that in that particular one.
So information about all these courses is on your website, which is institutetheatre.co.uk.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. So the Learn to Act, the Measure for Measure project, which we talked about, the voice is the muscle of the soul. Just one last question, Richard. I mean, you say you know Measure for Measure quite well, and you've come back to it again. You're still finding things in it, presumably. These texts are so rich and complex. That must be quite nice to discover more in it.
Oh, definitely. Yes, indeed. More complexity of language, and more. I mean, the main thing that has struck me in choosing it, as I was saying earlier, is how similar the world of politics and power still seems to this. This is Measure for Measure describes, as obviously all of Shakespeare's plays do, undemocratic. They're all undemocratic states. People do sometimes forget that when they think about these nice kings and queens of England, and they did their battles and they wore their crowns and stuff like that, and how this nice heritage stuff, and there are a few archers and nice costumes. And I think they can forget that every one of those, in Shakespeare's time, without exception, every state in Europe is what we would now describe as a horribly oppressive regime. Shakespeare knew that. He struggles with it, often trying to sort of justify the behaviour of the rulers. And he, sometimes he kind of wriggles around a bit trying to justify things that quite clearly can't be justified, but to which there wasn't really an alternative. I mean, that is different now. There are democratic alternatives to a lot of the stuff that is happening. And so I suppose we could say that there's some hope or progress there, though maybe difficult to see it after what happened last year. But Shakespeare is right in the middle of that, and he's a great writer. He's trying to make some sort of sense of the violent, oppressive world that he lives in. And these plays are the record of that.
And we're all still struggle. Trying to do that, aren't
yeah, exactly.
we?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
not alone.
Yeah.
It sounds great. You must come back and talk to us about the actual performance before you do it at the Leopard
Certainly,
Chapel
yeah.
in July. But that website address, again, is institutetheatre.co.uk. Thank you very much,
My
Richard,
pleasure.
For coming.
Thank
Lovely to talk to you
Thank
as
you,
all.
Lee.